the fourth message of our series. This is the final message of our series on storm chasers. And I really wanted to focus on after the storm, how to get our breath back. You know, I was thinking about this and talking to someone yesterday about how the enemy really wants your breath. You know, when God created mankind, he breathed into man, and he breathed purpose, and he breathed passion, and God wants us to live with purpose and passion. How many of y'all ever lived your life and feel like you lost your breath, that the wind was knocked out of you? But I believe today God's going to restore our breath back to us and get us on the road to purpose and the road to destiny again. How many of y'all agree with that? Let's pray before we get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of coming to church, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of sensing your presence and your purpose here. Lord, we thank you that you're true to your word, where you said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. So, Lord, we thank you. We honor your presence here today. And, Lord, we ask you to bless the message. Bless our time together. Bless, anoint me as I preach it. Anoint the people to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you will, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. You know, yeah, Tanya and I have been married 25 years. When was that, Tuesday, Tanya? Monday? Huh? Tuesday. Hey, I don't have to remember it until next year, right? It's over this year. But we've been married 25 years. Y'all stretch your hand toward me because I just want to let you know it's been hard for me. great years with a great woman. Wouldn't change a thing. God is good. And I just want to let you know something. Those of you that haven't been married very long or maybe planning on getting married, marriage is not always easy. Doing the right thing is not always easy, but it's a commitment that you make of conviction. You got to live as a person of principle, that sometimes, even when you don't feel like it, you made a vow, you committed yourself, and you're going to walk this thing through. Let me just help you. Let me give you one bit of marriage advice that'll help you. Never use the D word, the divorce word. Don't make that an option. That's not an option. For Tanya and I, divorce is not an option. So you know what that means? That means you got to work things out, because divorce is not an option. And so we've just decided it's not pretty all the time. The picture of working those things out isn't always pretty, but it's necessary to fulfill the obligation of the vow that you made before the Lord. Listen, you make a vow before the Lord, be a man or woman of principle and conviction that you're going to follow through what you did before God. Amen? So that's just a little tip on marriage. And I don't charge for that tip, but if you want some more, I'll charge you a little bit more for some more tips. 25 years of blessings. Amen? Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10 says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley full of dry bones." Can I just tell you something? Isn't this interesting? The first sentence is, "The hand of God was on me, and the Spirit of the Lord directed me right into the middle of a hopeless place." That the Spirit of God and the hand of God can be on you. Matter of fact, if you look at Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that after Jesus fasted, or after the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, the Bible says that the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Now, isn't that interesting? That the Spirit sometimes is going to lead you into some uncomfortable places, uncomfortable situations, looks really bad, but God's got a plan. All right? So the Spirit of the Lord set me in the middle of a valley full of bones. I want you to understand something. These bones were a result of something. You see, what happened, when you lose your breath, you'll end up a pile of bones. The bones weren't the problem. They had lost their breath, and they died and lost their purpose, became disjointed. You see, this is a result of something. It's a result of losing your breath. See, he led me back and forth. Here you go. So God's beginning to lead Ezekiel back and forth. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Isn't that funny? He asked him, he said, can these bones live? Ezekiel's reply was, I have no clue. Only you know that answer. And this is what he was saying. He's saying this, from what I see, this is bad. From what I see, no, it can't. But he gave a good answer, didn't he? Because even when we don't have the answer, or it looks hopeless, he says, Lord, only you know that answer. Put it in God's hands. He goes on to say, I said, Sovereign Lord, only you know. And he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, prophesy. You know what you do when you prophesy? The Bible says in Romans 4, we're going to read it, that you call those things that be not as though they are. In other words, there's a dynamic to your walk that God wants to give you to begin to speak things other than what you see that releases a new dynamic into the whole situation that begins to change things. God wants us to begin to prophesy. You see, what's wrong with the church today a lot is that we have missed our responsibility of spirituality. We neglect things other than what we can understand, what we can define, what we think, how we think God ought to move. God wants to move in a way other than what you can see or explain. But he wants you to cooperate with his spirit. You see, God could have done it himself, but God wants to use you. He wants to use you to prophesy to your situation. So he said, prophesy to these dry bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, isn't that ridiculous? Ezekiel is speaking to dead bones. Let me tell you why God wants us to speak to our dry situations, to our dead situations. Because when we see something dead and gone, a valley full of dry bones, God sees potential. What we see, when we see dead bones, God sees an army. And God is waiting on you. You see, we wait on God, but God is waiting on us. Now, we're in a situation, but God is waiting on us to begin to prophesy yourself. Look at me. Prophesy yourself out of your situation. Begin to speak to your dry place. Begin to speak to your hopeless place. He said, prophesy to these bones. Ridiculous. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. And cover you with skin, I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Here's the deal. When God gives you a word, even when it seems ridiculous, do it. There's going to be times when God speaks to you, and you're going to say, Lord, I don't see it. Lord, you don't understand the situation I've gotten myself into. You don't understand the place I'm in. You know, God knows right where you are, but God is testing your faith to see if you're going to let what you see and where you are dominate what you say. Are you going to begin to speak yourself out of that situation? Are you going to begin to agree with the ridiculousness of God? The supernatural is ridiculous to us because we're so caught up in the natural. I don't know about you, but I've got to have the supernatural in me. I've got to live for the supernatural. I've got to believe that there's something other than what I see, smell, taste, feel, and hear. But there's only one way to connect to that, and you got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, you ain't going to say a thing. So I prophesied it. I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered into them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Wow. Here it began in a hopeless place, a hopeless situation, and just by obeying the word of God and releasing the word of God over this hopeless situation, something powerful came up. You see, God has a plan, and God, can I just say this? Let me say this. God will allow you to sit in your valley of dry bones until you say something. God will allow you to sit in your valley of dry bones. Some of us have gotten used to the valley, and we try to dress up dry bones. Dry bones are still dry bones. God will let you sit in a, he'll let me sit in a dry place. Look at me. It's time to come out of that. Time to come out of that dry place. But you got to say something. Not just something. You got to say the right thing. Some of us are in the valley and staying in the valley because we're saying the wrong thing. We're agreeing with what we see. We're agreeing with the situation that we're in. We're agreeing with the circumstance that we're in, and we're not going anywhere. It's time to begin to prophesy what God wants us to prophesy over our situation. Can I just tell you something? Come on, this is good preaching. Mind your mouth. Mind your mouth, control your mouth, and begin to release the supernatural dynamic of the power of God. Can I just tell you that the devil wants your breath. The devil is not scared of form. You see, the army was of no concern to the devil when it was just standing there. But when breath came, that's a Hebrew word called ruach. Let me tell you what that means. It means spirit of power, a warlike spirit, a violent spirit, a spirit of purpose, a spirit of understanding. When God breathes, and you see, that wasn't the wind that God was prophesying. When he prophesied, God breathed. We like to think that Acts chapter 2 was wind, but it wasn't wind because the Bible defines the wind as breath. When God created mankind and he formed him out of the dust of the earth, he breathed into him, and the Bible said he became a living soul. He became a being of purpose, a being of passion. God doesn't just send the wind. It may seem like a wind to us, but it's the breath of God. God never creates anything without breathing into it. The purpose and the passion of God. The devil wants to spend your lifetime trying to take your breath away. He wants to relieve you of your purpose and your passion because the enemy is not scared of form, which is religion. The devil wants your breath. God breathes on everything born. born of the Spirit, the devil wants to clog your flow up. He wants to bring you to a dry place. I just, in my spirit, I've been hearing, don't let the enemy stop your flow. Don't let the enemy take your breath. I'm pretty unique as an individual. I have got to wake up with a sense of destiny and purpose. Anything I do, I've got to sense that I am in passion and purpose. So we've got to learn to protect what God's breathed into us. We've got to learn to honor what God's called us to be. Sometimes, so in order for us to overcome the dry places in the valley, the low place, need to start prophesying so God will breathe. Because you can lose your breath. Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The word there is, the Hebrew word for breathed into man is noe, or pneuma, which is the life, the very life. How many of you know that when you quit breathing, you quit living? No one has ever fulfilled their purpose without God first breathing on them. And indwelling and infilling. The word pneuma is indwelling presence. And then in Acts chapter 2, it says, I'm just giving you some examples of breath in the Bible. It says, suddenly a sound, they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly a sound like a violent blowing wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The word there is noe. The word in Genesis 2 is naphak. And this is what it means. It means at the right time. Listen to this. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, right? So right at the right moment, God went. And the minute he breathed, is the minute it men changed history. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, and Jesus told them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how did God fill them with the Holy Spirit? Just like he did in Genesis 2 when he breathed into physical man, he did in Acts chapter 2, he breathed into the spiritual man. Come on, God, when he breathed into the physical man, man began his purpose on earth. But when he breathed into the spiritual man, they became full of the breath of God and began to birth the church. Listen, God's breath always births something. Come on, that's powerful. The breath of God empowers, infills, indwells. And when they received that, Jesus said, this is what he was telling the disciples. He said, don't move until you get your breath. And we know the scripture, suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a violent. It said, as a violent blowing wind. It didn't say it was a violent blowing wind. You see, because we can't differentiate between our physical understanding of what wind is and the breath of God. The only difference is, wind doesn't change a thing. Breath, the breath of God changes everything. When God breathes, come on, God wants to breathe in you today. A new breath, a new purpose. I'm telling you, life has a way of robbing you of your breath. And one day you wake up and you find yourself going through the motions. Yes, you're still doing what you always did, but there's no life in it. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? It's time to breathe again. There's certain things that you need to do in your life to catch your breath. Let me give you some help. Just stop letting life run you. In other words, take a step back every now and then. Let's do like Ezekiel did. The Bible says that God brought him back and forth to look at the bones. You know what that means? Evaluate yourself. evaluate what you're doing, and then go to a place, get away, like Jesus did. Jesus never lost his breath because he had in his schedule put a time and a place where he always first caught his breath in the morning to begin his ministry. Listen, ministry cannot happen. You can have the form of a ministry, but you can't have ministry without the breath. Matter of fact, when the Spirit of God came into those men, they became known. The Romans said, these are the men that turned the world upside down. But the first thing that had to happen, they had to get turned right side up. Listen, embrace the supernatural power of God. Embrace what it means to serve God and to be filled with the breath of God. Yes, so what if people think you're strange? But embrace who God's created you to be. Receive the infilling of the power of the Spirit of God and move in the Spirit of God. Move in the prophetic. You say, what's the prophetic? It's calling those things that be not as though they are. The Bible said that Abraham kept saying, I'm going to have a baby, even before he had the baby. Listen, there's things that God has for you that he is waiting on your mouth to release it into your life. Time to get our breath back. The devil, I heard this when I was at the children's camp. And by the way, we had a great time at the Signs and Wonders camp. One of the men from IHOP came and he said, you know, I sense there is a smothering, stifling spirit in Mississippi. There's a message, if you ever have time to listen to it, that Jensen Franklin preached a few years ago called The Spirit of Python, where the devil, have you ever looked at, watched a Discovery Channel or something on a python, on a restrictor, a constrictor, that it comes and it wraps itself around you. And this is what it does. It takes your breath away. That every time you take a breath and go to exhale, it squeezes more. And the more it squeezes, the less you can inhale. Until at one time, you have no capacity to take breath in anymore, and it kills you. That's how the enemy does. It's a spirit of constriction, where when we open the door and the enemy comes in, it begins to squeeze the life out of us. And we're still breathing, but we're losing the capacity and ability to breathe. And then when we exhale, it squeezes us more until finally we can't take a breath. It wants to smother us, and it wants to take the life out of us. But I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to breathe. God wants to breathe into us. Here's four keys to reigniting your purpose after the storm. Catching your breath. How many of y'all are ready for some breath? Ready to catch your breath? Number one, the first thing you got to understand is not to focus on the bones, but to ask God for breath. Prophesy to the bones. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm in such a place right now. Yeah, you are in a place, but it's not the place. Don't let a place become the place. See, what happens is such a wrong thinking in the church is that, well, I guess I just need to accept my lot in life. And we lose our ability to dream. Don't focus on the bones. Ask God for breath, purpose, and passion. 1 John 2:27 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, an unction from the Holy One. That word unction is an understanding. In other words, in the middle of your situation, God's going to anoint you. That word unction is anointing. And the word anointing is a Greek word, and it's charis. And it means a smearing or setting apart. Matter of fact, here's an example. When the priest, the high priest, put on his robe, the next thing that happened is they put oil on him to set him apart for the purpose that God had for him. There was a new anointing. And guess what came with that anointing? An ability. God wants to anoint you to give you an ability to overcome, to speak out over that thing that you're in. And it's an unction. It's an understanding. In other words, I don't know what to prophesy. But God will give you an understanding beyond your knowledge. It's a revelation that when you begin to speak, you are speaking yourself out of your circumstance. The Bible said the sons of Issachar, who came to David, a group of men, said they were men who understood the times and knew what Israel was to do. That word knew means that meant they had an understanding. This is what the Hebrew word means, knowledge beyond book knowledge. There are things that God wants you to know that you don't even know you know until you need to know them. You understand what I'm saying? That there's something that God desires you to know, but it's not the ability for you to understand with your brain. It's something that comes by the Spirit of God that you release out of your mouth that makes no sense up here, but means everything in here. It's called revelation knowledge, where you begin to speak to things that make no sense, but all of a sudden you've released the supernatural power of God into your situation by prophesying over it, and things dynamically begin to change. I'll tell you this, I didn't have a clue about pastoring in the natural. I had been in ministry for 18 years, but I didn't know how to senior pastor. But I knew the Holy Spirit. Tell the president I'll call him back. But I knew by the Spirit, listen, what I had to do. Because listen, when you don't know, there's a knower on the inside of you that you can relate yourself to that'll carry you into something you never thought you could do before. I have experienced this firsthand. See, and the devil wants to rob you of that Spirit. He wants to rob you of the breath of God so that you don't have nothing besides my brains and my brawn to lean on. Listen, our ability is limited, but his ability, we need to tap into the unlimited anointing of God. I was reading a book during the week by Mike Murdoch, and he said, the anointing makes uncommon men uncommon. Can I just say something to you? The same anointing that was on Jesus is on you. The same anointing that God gave me, he gives to you. Some of us have just learned to tap into it. So don't focus on the bones. Focus on the breath. Speak what you desire, not what you see. Speak what you desire. How many of y'all, every morning, this is what I've done. I've started a declaration page in my notebook. And I started it for Sunday morning. And today I looked at it today and I said, today, miracles are going to happen today. Today, souls are going to be saved. Today, lives are going to be changed. And every Sunday, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to read that. You see, you got to release the prophetic anointing of God into your life over situations in your life. You may not see it right off, but as you continue to say it, you're going to start seeing results. You got to start a declaration page. Prophetically speak. Number two, the second thing you got to understand that when you prophesy, all heaven might just break loose. Don't be surprised when, number two, don't be surprised when God starts shaking things up. He said when he started prophesying, verse 7 says, as I prophesied, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. That's what I've learned. God shakes things up before he builds things up. There's always a shakening before an awakening. You say, Pastor, Well, I've just messed my life up. Well, so what? Just come on out of that mess. Yeah, but Pastor, you're not disqualified. See, the devil wants you to believe that so you'll lose your breath. You are purpose people, full of the power of God, full of the anointing of God, and there's nothing that you won't accomplish when you connect to that. God's going to shake things up. Don't worry about it. Learn to embrace the shaking. Suddenly things begin to change and things begin to shake. That's okay. Maybe disorder right now, but order's coming. Just let him shake up what he needs to shake up. Isn't that funny? We get out of our comfort zone, but that's exactly where you need to be. The comfort zone, the safe place, is not where the prophetic is. The safe place that we spend our life trying to create. We need to be in a place where things begin to rattle and things begin to shake. Because when that begins to happen, all that's happening is God is rebuilding things. There was a reason those bones began to shake. It's because God was taking the bones and putting them where they needed to be. He was bringing order into that valley of dry bones because he had a plan to create an army. The shaking that you're experiencing right now is not the devil, it's God. Woo! We think, oh, Lord, my world's getting shaken. Your world needs to get shaken. It ain't your world anyway. It's his world. We just living in it. Y'all ought to listen, rejoice. The Bible says when you're in some place like this, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. What do you want? You want to stay what you are? What do we really want? You see, we pray for the will of God, but then we say, Lord, I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I'm ready for that. Can I just tell you something? I have never been ready for a move of God in my life. Never. But I've always enjoyed it. I didn't always like how it happened, but God used it to bring me to a place so that he could bring me into a place. The place that you're in right now and the shaking that's going on right now, God's got to do it to bring you to where he wants you to be. Don't be surprised when God shakes things up in your life. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm uncomfortable. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, but I'm getting hit by the devil. Yeah, well, that's what happens when you're in God's will. I was talking to someone the other day, how, you know, we're talking about how we had to fight for everything. Well, how many of y'all know that warriors were created to fight? And do you think that any battle that you come into, you're not going to have to fight? Just rise up and fight. Bring it on, devil. You want another black eye, just come get some. Listen, do you understand that Jesus said, Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In other words, go fight. He can't touch you. Number three, God will first bring form before he brings breath. God will bring form, then breath. In verse 8, things begin to take shape. Look at verse 8. It says that bone came to bone, sinew came to sinew, and it stood before him, a great army. God shakes things up, and then he builds things up, and then he breathes on it. The shaking that's happening right now is also a building going on. Because God's about to breathe life into that thing. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. How do you know that form without breath does not scare the enemy? Because that's what religion is. It's form without breath. Things begin to take shape. Hey, can I just tell you? Some of you, I'm going to prophesy this to you right now. In 6 months, you're not going to recognize yourself or your situation. I know this by the Lord. There's several people in here that God has strategically got you in a place, and it's like all hell's broke out against you, but it's about to be in 6 months. How many of y'all remember that scripture where the prophet Elijah came to the widow and he said, about this time next year, it's all going to be different. I'm going to tell you, about this time next year, come on, this is the Holy Ghost. About this time next year, everything's going to be different. In 6 months, I know this for a fact, specifically in some people's lives. In 6 months, you're not going to recognize yourself and you're not going to recognize your situation. It's all going to be different. I know there's a whole lot of shaking going on right now. Just hold your peace. Prophesy over that thing. You know what you call this message today? This is a prophetic message. We all need those sometimes. Number four, call the God factor into your situation. I love that, the God factor. What is that, Pastor? It's when you release the supernatural power of God through prophesying over your situation, and everything begins to be shaken up. The Hebrew word, God's ruach into the situation, God's breath into the situation. This is what that means. Look, ruach means breath, animation, agitation, vigor, desire, a spirit of passion and purpose, a warlike energy, an energy of life, a manifestation of the glory of God. Wow, that's the definition of God breathing into this army. The God factor is released into it, and everything begins to change. Look, breath, animation, agitation, vigor, desire, spirit of passion and purpose, warlike energy, the energy of life, and a manifestation of the glory of God. That's what that word means. In other words, we think, oh, God breathed on an army. No, 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 no. God released the power and the presence and the very life of God into this army. But this wasn't a normal army, because when God breathed that into them, it stood up and was ready to fight. Come on, we need to be ready. The God factor, the ruach of God, the very breath of God, the purpose of God, the anointing of God, the warlike spirit of God released into our life. And then the situations don't matter. Once you're filled with that purpose, God begins to rise you up above your stuff. And the very thing that was sent by the enemy to destroy you becomes your footstool. Woo! Come on, let's stand up. Second Timothy 1:6. Paul told Timothy, how many of y'all received this message today? He said, for this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God that's in you, through what was given to you through the laying on of hands. I remind you of Romans 4:17. It says, we serve the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being those things that were not. I sense the Holy Spirit in this place today. How many of y'all are ready to say, Pastor, I'm ready for the ruach of God, the very breath of God to be breathed in my life right now. I specifically heard the Holy Spirit speak to me this morning, and he said, I want you to lay hands. want you to come up if you need a breath. The Ruach of God, I'm going to lay hands on you. God's going to touch you. And I'm going to promise you that from this day forward, everything's going to change.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my heart. Death, jealousy demanding as the grave.